Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is now time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. It's an honor and a privilege to go before the people of God as we study God's word. Today is no different. It is a day that God has made, and we should all rejoice and be glad in it because God has given us this time, and we should thank him and praise his holy name for all that he has done and doing and promised to do in our lives. Today is the month of July, and we see that time is passing. And we should thank God for all of the time that he has given us. We should praise his holy name because we were created to give him praise, honor, and glory. God abide in the praises of his people. And we should want to be obedient and pleasing. At this time, I want you to know that the title of our lesson tonight is Stop Worrying About the Wrong Things. You see, our mind is what really gets us in trouble. And our mind can get us out of trouble. Our mind is constantly talking us into doing something or talking us out of doing something. So it should be our goal to think on things that are lovely, think on things that are good, think on things that are pure, think on things that are a good report. And we have to stop worrying about the wrong things. We are coming from 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verses 10 through 18. And I ask that you would read the whole chapter if you found time in your schedule so that you could understand what God is really telling us in this chapter through his servant Peter. Every first Monday, every first Wednesday of the month, we go into prayer. And our prayer warrior, Sister Pam, lead us there. But before we do that, I'm going to play a song that I think is appropriate because God really understands what we are going through. Nothing that happens to us, through us, or around us taken by surprise. So the title of this song is I Understand. We're going to come back and go to the throne of grace, and then we're going to explore on the word of God together.
Sometimes I feel like giving up. It seems like my best just ain't good enough. Lord, if you hear me, I'm calling you. Do you see, do you care all about what I'm going through? And then he said, one more. One more step. See, I'm preparing you for myself. And when you can't hear my voice, please trust my plan. I'm the Lord, I see, and yes, I understand. But sometimes
I cut the song off because I see someone has pressed a button, and I don't know if you're trying to tell me that you can't hear. If you can hear what's going on, could you please press your one button to let me know? Can you hear me? Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to go back to the song and we're going to proceed.
Sometimes I feel like giving up. It seems like my best just ain't good enough. Lord, if you hear me, I'm calling you. Do you see, do you care all about what I'm going through? And then he said, one more day, one more step. See, I'm preparing you for myself. And when you can't hear my voice, please trust my plan. I'm the Lord, I see, and yes, I understand. But sometimes I feel like I'm all alone. I'm just like a stranger so far from home. I feel like I've done all that I can do. Please, Lord, give me strength. I'm just trying to make it through. That's when he told me, I am the Lord, and I change it not. I won't forget, nor have I forgot. You see, everything works according to my plan. I am God, trust me, I got the whole world in my hands.
Song is letting us know no matter what you're going through, there may be some things that you have prayed for God and you feel you haven't got an answer. Sometimes you feel like you're all alone, or do God really hears you, or if God is really near to you. The song writer is letting us know God understands all things. He's all knowing. And he's right in the middle of everything that you're going through. And remember, nothing taken by surprise. He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And wherever we are, he's there. Whatever we're going through, he's in the middle of it. Whatever we need, he has it. God is with us all the way. And at this time, we're going to go to God's throne of grace. Our prayer warrior, Sister Pam, I turn it over to you at this time.
Good evening, my sisters and brothers. Today is Wednesday, July the 7th, 2021. And the prayer list read as Latrell Harris, Latasha Harlan, Royal and Betty Herbert, Gabrielle Muffin Moore, the McBride family, Minister Diane and family, Sir Brian Williams, Emma Turner Bridges, Anika Drew, Chantel Bro, Jim and Kathy Hartman, Florida Kasia, the Moses and Mitchell family, the Bridges family, the Wynn family, Sandra Bridges, Larry Bridges, Elizabeth Bias, Nicole, Vanessa Laurent, Minister Paula Cloud, Ezra Hurd, Tyrone Coleman, Lee Calhoun, Jacqueline Nichols, the youth of New Orleans and all over the world, all the prisoners that are behind prison walls tonight, all those that are homeless, that don't have a roof over their head, all those that are suffering tonight from some kind of illness or sickness. I will bless the Lord at all times, for his praise shall continually to be in my mouth. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come on tonight just to say thank you. Thank you, Father God, tonight for life. Thanking you, oh God, for allowing us to come together on one accord on this first Wednesday night in July. We come together, oh Lord. God, we pray. We come together tonight, oh Lord, for prayer and for worship. First giving all glory, all honor, and all praise to you, God. Father God, we come this first Wednesday night. Lift up the name of each of my brothers and sisters who calling and coming, asking for prayer. Father God, we are all your children. You made each and every one of us in your liking. You know all about us, Father God. So we know that what all we stand in need of, we know you shall supply. But Father God, I'm as humble as I can, asking that whatever my sisters and brothers stand in the need of, that you may supply their every need, whether it's healing from a sickness, a financial need, family issues, mental needs, whatever their needs may be, I pray that every need be supplied. Touch, O Lord, heal and deliver in the sweet holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen, and thank you, God.
Amen. Thank you, my sister.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being a prayer warrior, standing on the wall on behalf of others. God honors that. God is pleased. And I thank you very, very much for your service, for your commitment. Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. And at this time, it's time for us to go into the Bible study, where we're going to explore the Word of God together. And it's our desire that we study together and be on one accord, asking that the Holy Spirit have his way with this lesson on tonight, and give us illumination and revelation of what God is telling us through the writer of Peter at this time. So I decrease and allow God's Holy Spirit to increase. Holy Spirit, have your way with this class on tonight. Well, I'm going to say the title again because other people have called on the line. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the title of our lesson is Stop Worrying About the Wrong Things. Stop worrying about the wrong things. And we're coming from 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verses 10 through 18. Always, I like to give a little introduction. And tonight I want to say, when we read the scriptures or study the Bible, we should ask what God is saying to me and why. You should try to figure out who wrote it and who they wrote it to and why was it necessary to be written at that time. Then you should ask yourself, how can I apply this to my life? You see, the Bible is God himself talking to us, and he uses everything he created to reveal that. You see, we should know about him. We should do what the word of God is telling us to do and try our best to not to do what it asks of us not to do. You see, God gives examples we can learn from. He always lets us know we can learn from the mistakes of others, and hopefully we don't make the same mistake. You see, when Peter wrote this book, 2 Peter, I want you to know it was several years after his first encounter with Jesus. You know, if we look at the life of Peter, we will recognize that Peter had some qualities that in the beginning, while Peter had qualities that you would think that God couldn't use him. The Bible tells us never despise small beginnings. Because you see, Peter was enthusiastic, very strong-willed. He was impulsive. At times he was arrogant. He always was cocky. And it has been said that Peter had a mouth of a sailor. You see, Peter began to walk with Jesus. And after that, his life changed. Peter became a rock. Peter became a leader of the disciples. It is said that Peter became the first pope for the Roman Catholic Church. But you see, with all his strengths, Peter had several failures in his life. You see, Peter was the one that rebuked Jesus when Jesus told his disciples that he would suffer, be crucified. He told them to give them hope, but in 3 days he would rise. Jesus said he had to go, and Peter told him, no, you can't. Peter was the one that cut off the soldier's ear. And really, when he did it, he thought he was doing what was right. Jesus stepped down and picked up the soldier's ear and put it back on his head. You see, Peter was the one that began to walk on water. But when he took his sights off of Jesus, he sank. And the same Peter, because of fear, denied our Jesus Christ 3 times. You see, you got to realize these characteristics of Peter in the beginning, God knew it. God didn't say, I have to clean you up and then I could use you. God takes us just the way we are. And when we accept him, he began working on us, circumcising our heart, regulating our mind. And that's what he did with Peter, but that's what he's doing with each and every one of us. But we have to cooperate. We have to submit. See, we all fall short of the glory of God sometime or another in our lives. But we have to do just like Peter did. If we fall down, get up, repent, and keep it moving. But you see, Jesus kept teaching and guiding and showing Peter the way. And then Peter began to grow in grace and the knowledge of God. And he began to mature in the things of God. And he stopped worrying about the wrong things and began to press towards the mark of the prize for the high calling of God in Christ. You see, he takes a look back in his life at some point in Peter's life, and he takes a look back at his life. You know, we always could look back just to see where we came from. So if Peter take a look back in his life, he would realize when he rebuked Jesus, he was leaning to his own understanding. Hallelujah. When he cut off the soldier's ear, stands now that the battle was not his, but it was the Lord's. The Lord will fight your battles if you let him. And Jesus told him to don't do that when he cut the men ill. And as I said earlier, he put it back where it belonged. He was showing him all of these things my father sent me to do. You can't stop it, Peter, and you can't block it. The battle is not yours. It belongs to me. You see, and when he sank, it was because he took his eyes off of Jesus. And oh, when he denied Jesus three times, y'all know the story. Denied, he even knew Jesus. But I want you to know it was because of fear. It was because of fear. And we know God is not a God of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. I'm talking about this Peter, the Apostle Peter, who wrote 1 and 2 Peter in the Bible, who walked with Jesus, who Jesus said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm talking about that Peter. You see, but God doesn't allow our past to dictate our future. You see, God chose him before the foundation of the world. And God continued to mold him into the intended purpose that he had designed for him. Y'all know Jeremiah 29 and 11. And at some point, Peter stopped worrying about the wrong things and gained confidence that he who had begun a good work in him was able to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We see that the word of God, which gives us the knowledge of God, the grace of God, which is activated by faith in Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us, we see what it did for Peter. And we'll do the same for us. But we first got to stop worrying about the wrong things and do as the word of God says. And that's our introduction and background. And I'm going to go ahead and start with the scripture. And I start in the 10th verse. I hope you have your Bibles with you. because this is Bible study. Any time you study anything, any institution, school that you go to, there are books. And that's the same way it is with the Word of God. So the verse 10 is where I'm going to start. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a loud noise. Hallelujah. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Peter's talking about the last days, y'all. He says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person are ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? He says, since all of this is going to pass away, what should you be doing and what you should be, you know, allowing yourself to be prepared for? 12, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of the Lord, which the heavens being on fire, being dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. He goes on in 13 and say, nevertheless, we, according to the promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Telling us we have to put our sights on things that are eternal. Because everything we know and everything you could see is going to be dissolved in the day of our Lord. We put our sights on things that's going to fade away. Everything that the world has to offer you is only temporary, and it won't last. Only those things done for Christ will last. So in 14, he say, therefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blemish. Present yourself to God in a righteous way. 15, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Peter also, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. You see, at this time when Peter's talking, he letting them know, what I'm telling you right now has been said many times. You see, Peter wrote 1st and 2nd Peter, but Paul wrote 13 books, letters called epistles in the Bible. And Paul kept telling us how we should become and what God expects and what should we do. So Peter took the time to mention Paul to let us know what I'm telling you ain't nothing new. You done heard it over and over through the epistles of Paul. He said, but I'm stopping by to tell it to you today. And 16, as also in all his epistles, talking about Peter, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. You know, many times people say, Sister Diane, I can't read the Bible. I don't understand it. And they'll come and they'll say, what should I do? And I look them straight in the eyes. And I pause. And, you know, it's really like I'm fixing to give some magic words. And I wait a while. And then I tell them, just keep reading. Just keep reading and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you the truth. You see, those scriptures was letting us know that Jesus is coming back, but no man knows the hour. Then the question was asked while waiting for his return. It was really saying what manner of people we ought to be. And tonight I could ask the question, I'm saved, now what? You see, yes, Jesus, when we accept and guaranteed and signed and sealed and delivered us by the Holy Spirit, and when we got saved, we'll save forever and we will see Jesus. But in the meantime, everyone should ask the question to themselves. I'm saved, now what? You know, now what? The scripture give us what we should do once we are saved. And the question you have to ask yourself, are you doing it? You see, he goes on to say everything as we know it will pass away. So this lets us know just what we do for God is going to stand. You see, what are you doing with what Jesus has given you to be stewards of here on earth? Remember, everything belonged to God. The scripture says the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and everything that dwells in it belongs to God. And everything in the world God created and put it there. You could ask yourself, what have I done for God lately with my time, resources, gifts, and talents? You see, some people believe that they have time to accept Christ as their Savior. That's the unsaved people. They're not ready to accept it because, first of all, they think it's too hard, and they think they have to give up too much. So, you know, the unsaved people believe they have time to accept Christ as their Savior. And others who are saved think they have time to get it right. But you see, in the meantime, what they do, they begin to lean to their own understanding, making it up as they go. But I come to tell you tonight, you're not afforded the privilege. The Bible says when people are like this, they'll be ever learning, but never coming into the knowledge of truth. And a Christian growth can be called shorty. And they have the audacity to be talking loud and saying nothing. You know, I don't know about you, but there's many people who know of God, but they never took time to know God. People know bits and pieces about my Savior. People know some stories about my Savior. But do you know him for yourself? Have he become real in your life? You see, just because we love the Lord, it doesn't exempt us from pain on earth. But some people have a problem with understanding. You know, sometimes it would say that no pain, no gain. And you see, God sometimes puts fire under our feet. He allows us to hit the rock bottom, as they say in the world. So the only thing we could do is look up. You see, you'll never understand good times until you have bad times. And God is using everything he created to get us to line up with the purpose that he designed us to be. God is using everything to mature us, to take us from one level to the next, from one glory to the next, from one season to the next, for one purpose until the next. But you got to go along with him. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. You see, it's never about what comes our way, but it's all about who we go through it with. And I come to tell you tonight, his name is Jesus. We should never stop growing in God's word. Some people have learned some stuff and they figured it and went to the mountaintop. Paul in the Bible, and I use it for an example, say it. Paul was taught by Jesus Christ himself. He wrote 13 books in the Bible and some think 14. And Paul made a statement. He said, I'll never believe that I already have obtained. He said, I just have to keep pressing. I have to keep learning. I have to keep growing. So what about us? We should never stop growing in God's word, his will, and his work, and his purpose. You see, it's a process. It's not a destination while we are alive. It's a journey of preparation, preparing us for our final destination. When Jesus left, he said, I go to prepare a place for you where I am, you may be also. You see, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. You see, a journey that gets better than we could ever imagine. The scripture says, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, nor can it enter the hearts of man what God has in store for his people. You see, we are on this journey now, and our journey will continue throughout eternity. To know this, to understand this, to place your hope in this, to embrace this, to bask in it, you got to have knowledge of God. You see, we see that God has promised a new heaven and a new earth in the scripture and advised us to be diligently growing so that we may be found in peace with him. The word of God gives us peace, y'all. It gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding. Hallelujah. You should understand that God is not slow to give wrath. Check out the Old Testament. He's not slow. He's long-suffering. And it is his desire that all sorts of men be saved. And is actively taking part in our Christian growth. Do you want to grow? You see, change is inevitable, but growth is an option. Are you satisfied where you're at? If you're satisfied where you're at, that's where you're going to be. But if you want more, the rule of thumbs is to do more. There's a definition of insanity, say if you just do what you do all the time but expect a different result, that's the definition of insanity. Get a different result. You see, Peter also mentioned Paul. Like I said earlier, he said, look, I'm not telling you nothing new. If you look at the Bible repeats itself. It do a 360. It take precepts and build them on each other. And God never rewrote the Bible. So everything is in there for you. He had it said different ways by different writers from different cultures, from different nationalities, from different faiths. He did that so everybody could receive. And he used all of that to bring us to one basic, that we could be on one accord in the works of Jesus Christ. And if we look at verses 17 and 18, it say, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before. He said, you already know it. You already heard it. What I'm telling you guys tonight, you know, most of you have already heard it, but we bring it for memory. We bring it so it could stick in your heart and your mind, and you can meditate on it. Ain't nothing new under the sun. He said, you done seen these things before. Beware lest ye also being led away with error of the wicked, fall from your steadfastness, the confession of your faith, holding on to God's hand, letting God go for your own agenda. And Peter said this. Peter is telling us this. Second Peter, the third chapter, is Peter's last writing, y'all. And Peter, we talked about how he was in the beginning, and now we see how he has grown. So out of everything that Peter went through with his walk with Christ and then his walk after Christ, when Peter at the day of Pentecost was helping establish all the churches around the world, I'm talking about that Peter, everything that Peter did, his last writing says this. 2 Peter 3:18 is Peter's last writing. And look what Peter said. After evaluating and doing and walking with God and allowing the Spirit to lead him, and he had walked and was taught by Jesus Christ, the suggestion and what he decided to leave for us today is this. He said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, now and forever. Peter saying, the grace that God has given us, learn to walk in it, because that's where your rest is. That's what gives you the right direction. He said, grow in the grace. What grace? Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is a gift to us from God. He said, walk in it. And it'll help you to stop worrying about the wrong thing. Instead of looking down to the left and the right, you'll begin to look up. He said, grow in the grace. And you see, when you get the knowledge of God, it helps you to grow in the grace even more. He said, because to God be the glory, now and forevermore. And Peter said, amen. You see, therefore, since you know these things, don't continue to just be a hearer. Become a doer. Stop allowing the word of God to get in your head and stay there. And you must stop worrying about the wrong things. You must submit, obey, and learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit for illumination and revelation so that it will enter your heart. Change takes place in the heart where the Holy Ghost dwells. The Holy Ghost is circumcising your heart, not circumcision made by hand, but made by the Spirit of God, trying to take out the old junk, the old way of thinking, the old thoughts, the old habits, the old appetite, the old way of doing business, the old way of looking at God. He's trying to bring you to the newness. Finally, he said, in grace. And I want you to know that Peter stood up for the bloodstained banner so heavily over his Christian life after he met Jesus Christ that the people wanted to kill him. And those people at that time that stood up for Christ and were killed were called martyrs. So now Peter wrote this book. And Peter knew that his time was short. And Peter knew he was going to die. And they decided that they would crucify Peter. But Peter had so much love and reverence for Jesus Christ. And he had grew and matured. And he knew that Jesus was above all at one time thought he could be equal. He loved Jesus Christ, and he had reverence for Jesus so much. When they got ready to crucify him, he asked them, could they turn him upside down? Because he didn't feel he had the right to hang on the cross as Jesus did. Now that's growth. Hallelujah. Peter lets us know that it's all about growth. Christian growth is necessary for our walk with God. God has done his part by providing us with everything we ever need to live a righteous life. You got to walk in it. God is not holding anything that is good from us. We walk away. I don't know about you, but I know some things that are right that I don't do. I don't do all the time. That's what I'm talking about, Job. But God has given us wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and truth, and he has given us his word, and he gave us all of these examples in the Bible. And I'm not bringing you a command to become perfect at this time. God is not looking for our perfection, but our direction. We have to keep pressing, and we have to keep growing. All he said was grow in grace and get knowledge of God. That's what Peter left for us, in the grace and get knowledge of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because it's going to help you trust the word of God. God never asks us to do anything with first providing the evidence that it is true and then the provisions to accomplish it. Whatever God has assigned to us to do, he has given us the provision. He has given us the talent to perform the tasks that he wants us to do. He has given us the resources that he wants us to use in the kingdom. Everything we have don't just belong to us. So you see, we will have no excuses. I couldn't. He said, but look at this, my child. He said, it wasn't that you couldn't, you didn't. You see, growing is not as hard as you may think. God will and is doing the work in you. And you say, how you know that? Well, I could tell you this. I read a scripture in Philippians, the second chapter and the 13th verse, and I got a revelation that was out of this world. It lets us know. It says, for it is God that worketh in us both to will. In other words, he give us the will to do what he want us to do. He even give us the will to do what he want us to do. He even give us the opportunity to do it. He gives us, it is God that worketh in us both to will. And he's given us the ability and to do of his good pleasure. The pleasure that God wants from your life, he's setting you up to be able to accomplish it. What a mighty God we serve. You see, and working out your own salvation don't mean that you must work to attain it. You see, we know work precedes come after salvation. You see, we were saved while we were in our sin, just like God chose Peter. Peter was a hot mess, and God went and called him, and Peter answered the call. Same way with us. We was wilding in our sin when Jesus came and took us in, but the Holy Ghost gave us an invitation, and we came to God just as we were. We didn't, you know, some people are saying they have to get right before they come. They want to get their life right. You can't get your life right by yourself. The rule is, accept Christ, receive the Holy Ghost, and God will begin to work in you. You see, God is working in you, that his pleasure can be achieved. And that's just the way he planned it. And when we say God is working all things out for our good, that's what he's talking about. He's working it for our good, for his pleasure. And as I get ready to close tonight, I ask you again, stop worrying about the wrong things and begin to do as Matthew 6:30 and 34 says. The scripture reads, therefore, if God so clothes the grass in the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in an oven, Shall he not much clothe you? Stop worrying about what you're going to wear and all of that. And you know you need clothes. So I'm not telling you that you don't have to think about clothes. You need clothes. But if you put clothes in front of everything else, then there's a problem. He said, oh, ye of little faith. 31 say, therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? God say, I got that. 32. He said, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. What he's telling us here is that the unsaved people think about this because they don't have a God. They don't have a God that was able to send mammon from the sky daily, their daily bread, when they didn't have nothing to eat. It was God that allowed them to receive meat when they wanted a little bit more because of their appetite. God said, I got this. When they was thirsty, he let water come from a rock. He said, I'm your God. He said, but that's how the unsaved, the Gentiles think. He said, you got to remember this. For your heavenly Father know what you will need of all things. God know what you need, y'all. God created you. He say in Psalms 139, he formed you, your innermost parts, how you were in your mother's womb, and he know the number of hairs you have on your head. He know where you are all the time. He know your direction. He know your faults, and he know your commitment. God knows everything. One of his attributes is that he's all-knowing and he's everywhere at the same time. And, of course, he have all power. And it goes on to say this. It's telling you, don't worry. I got you. I know what you need. I know what you want. I'm right here with you. Hold on to my unchanging hand. Cast your cares on me because I care for you. He said, but if you do this, verse 33, he said, but if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. Seek me. And 34, he said, take therefore no thought but tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thoughts for the things of itself. He said, you're worrying about next year, and it's not even promised. And when I say that, I also have to say something else. God loves for us to make goals and plans. And I guess but what he said, when you make these plans, you say, if it's the Lord's will. Come on, y'all. Just like Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will be done. So include him in your plan. But he said, don't, you know, if you're going to work so hard for next year, put God on a sideline, put your family, put your friends, put everything on the guideline, put down everything God wants you to do is when it's a problem. He says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He says, seek God first. The scripture told us about everything burning up with a fervent heat. It lets us know that all everything in the world that we could see, touch, and smell is going to be gone. And only those things that are done for Christ will last. The scripture is trying to tell us, put our mind and think on those things that are lovely. Think on the things of God. Stop worrying about what you can't control. The prayer of serenity. God, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. That means accept it and stop worrying about it. Bring it to God and leave it there. If you're going to worry, you don't need to pray. And if you're going to pray, don't worry. But you got to get to a point where you can accept the things that you cannot change. And then it goes on to say and ask for courage to change the things that you could. And then this is the best part. You need wisdom to know the difference. Because you see, there's some people that are trying to change things they can never change. And others have courage to change things that they don't. But the wisdom will let you put it in place. And I want you to know wisdom is free. It's a gift from God. God says in the book of James, anyone who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And God will give it to him liberally. So that's the lesson for tonight. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. At this time, the door is open. Anyone who would like to say anything can press the one button on a phone. And I want you guys to know that God has given us this platform the way that he has given us. And we've been on this platform for, you know, maybe 9 years. And God has it fixed where when the program is over, you can ask questions. You can make comments. You know, plenty of times people go to Bible study and they hear a lesson and they might not understand it, but they don't give a chance to ask or they really got it and want to make a comment or maybe could give us an experience in their life, you know, what God is doing for them, because all of the other brothers and sisters on the line, you know, you may say something that can help them. So if anyone would like to say anything at this time, you can press the one button. And there's only one caller. Your number is 460. When I asked to be prompted to see if you could hear, you press the one button on your phone. And once the button is pressed, if you press it again, I can't tell. So I don't want to end without giving you the opportunity to see if you want to say something. I'm going to open your mic, and if you don't want to talk, you don't have to. But your number is 460-28. Your mic is open. And now your mic is closed. Anyone else would like to say anything? If not, that's our lesson for tonight. I thank God again for each and every one of you. I pray that the word of God that you receive, that the Holy Ghost will illuminate it and revelate it for you, that the Holy Ghost will let you know the truth in the word of God, that the Holy Ghost will give you the intended purpose that God had it written there and show you how God had it written just for you. So that's our lesson for tonight, and we'll have our benediction. And I could close tonight with the scripture, which is Peter's benediction. So I'm going to do 2 Peter 3:18, and the scripture reads as follows. The scripture says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forevermore. That's our class for tonight. I pray God's blessing upon each and every one of you. I thank God for each and every one of you taking time out of your busy schedule to come where we explore the word of God Wednesday after Wednesday. I thank God for the Christian growth that he is allowing us to receive through his word. I thank God for the brothers and sisters of Christ, which makes up the body of Christ, that we can have fellowship on Wednesday night. I thank God for you. I thank God for his son, and I thank God for his spirit. And if it's your will and God's desire, we'll be back next Wednesday at the 8:30 hour. So until then, be blessed. Good night.